Truth Church podcast. We pray you encounter God through this message. To find out more about our family, visit us online at livingtruth.church.
Father, we yield to you right now. And we release the word that says you'll do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we could ask, think, or even imagine. So, Lord, stir our expectancy right now by faith. Let faith be enriched and strengthened in this room, and let hope that begins the process of faith begin to rise. And I pray, Father, for an unshakable trust inside of every heart to confidently come before you and receive the things that you have for us. And bless this word to flow with anointing and power, to flow from you into our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're wondering why I have a suit on, you can go back and listen to the podcast. There'll be a couple more weeks of this. I know why those guys have that normally wear suits carry a towel or something. You get hot in these things. It's part of a recipe that the Lord gave me for some specific things he wanted to pour out was wear a suit, have this horn played. How many of you really enjoying the trumpet? I mean, the reason you enjoy that is because he is anointed by the Lord. So you're having a compound effect of two anointed musicians playing in a room full of anointed people. And there's a response that takes place that is tangible and that you can feel. And that's our opportunity when we feel God's presence flowing on the anointing. That's our opportunity to just crank it up and just go to another level in our worship and our thankfulness and our expression of praise to the Father. That's our opportunity to do that. Sometimes we don't take that opportunity. Sometimes we sit still and we just kind of go, you know, what are we eating today or whatever. But I'm telling you, if we take advantage of that opportunity, we are going to see and experience measures and power of a glory of God that will come into this room that we have not experienced yet. And it will be in combination with a drawing of men and women. And they will collide with that glory, and they'll be transformed instantly before the preaching ever starts. And that's really what we want. That's what we want to take place in here. Just miraculous transformation. We're going to talk more about that even in the coming weeks of how that process works. And if you're following and you were here last week, I began to introduce a message on faith, anointing, and impartation. And that's a lot in itself. And so, but I'm going to talk about some of the ways that these three interact and transact the kingdom of God into the earth. This is some information that really has been new to me, and it's probably new to a lot of people, but there are key facets of the kingdom that if we don't understand faith correctly, we don't understand the anointing correctly, we don't understand impartation, we will miss out on these facets of the kingdom that Jesus has paid for. How many of you just would rather not miss out on anything that God's made available this side of heaven? I want to know his truth. I want to know his word. I want to know what he says on this. But before I get into all of that, I have a little word that came to me as I was kneeling this morning. This is not to alarm anyone or produce fear any way at all, but I actually saw a picture of a wolf's face. I saw a picture of a big male wolf that was just looking on. And I thought about has anybody ever had a chicken coop? Or, you know, you grew up on a farm and maybe you had chickens and something took one of the chickens. Maybe it was a stray dog, maybe it was a fox or a bobcat or even a house cat or something, you know, took one of your chickens or a snake got some of the eggs or something like that. Anybody ever had that happen? It's irritating, right? But if it's just one egg, it's like, well, it's not that big of a deal. Or maybe one chicken dies or one chicken goes missing. And some people say, well, that's just part of it. But what I was seeing today is that when you allow the little stuff to be taken from you, you're preparing for the wolf to come. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And it's the little taking that we allow that the wolf is watching. Because when the wolf comes, he will destroy everything, even if he can't eat it all. He's going to kill it and leave it. And the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But God said, I came so that you could have life, and you could have life more abundantly. And that's the hope of Jesus. So in talking about faith, I'm giving that word. Okay, let me just slow down. I'm giving that word to let you know that if you are being taken from, and it may be in the smallest, insignificant way, but if you feel like the enemy is stealing from you, you need to cut it off now. You need to get in alignment with the word, because when you do that and when you stand in the position of faith, the word says that he will rebuke the devourer for our sake. That Jesus stands in intercession over you, but you have to access that intercession. And that can only happen by faith. Everything that flows from heaven into earth is transacted through faith. Without faith, you can't see God, you can't please God, you can't follow God, you can't get saved without faith. It's by grace through faith that you're saved. So faith is an avenue for, at the very beginning point, salvation. Faith is not faith is not your belief. You can believe in God and not have faith, because even the demons believe and they tremble, right? You can believe in God and not have faith. Faith is not a belief. Faith is a response to a belief. See the difference? You can't say you have faith in God if there's no fruit. You can't say that you're a Christian if there's no action, if you're not putting faith to work. It's really hard for people to see that you belong to him. Faith has a look. Faith has an action. Faith has a walk. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But the first thing is, you notice I keep saying we're going to talk about that because I got so much stuff that I realize I'm not going to get to all of it even today. But the first thing is that God imparted faith into all of us. Impartation plays a role in the exchange of faith. He imparted faith into us. I want to read this scripture, Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith, or a measure of faith. To every man, the measure of faith. So you have faith, whether you realize it or using it or accessing it or not, you have it. And I want to just give a portrayal of faith like a muscle. Everyone in this room, hopefully, was given muscle tissue at birth. And part of the process of delivery, or part of the process of the baby kicking inside the womb, is to build that muscle enough to function, to be able to support the weight of bones and tissue and flesh. If faith is like a muscle, you have to use it for it to benefit you. You have to exercise it for it to grow, for it to be strengthened, and it requires fuel. So what is the fuel of faith? The Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You are being strengthened in your faith as you interact with the Word of God. This implicates action. This implicates that my belief will follow with a resulting or corresponding action, with a work, with an evidence. If faith is the substance of things hoped for, faith brings a tangibility to our hope, to our belief. You're understanding that faith has action. If you ever, anybody ever broken an arm or a leg or, and you have to have a cast put on it, and you sit in that cast for maybe months, and what happens? It's called atrophy, right? You pull that arm out and you think, where did my arm go? Because you're not using that muscle tissue, it shrinks and it diminishes. Now, it's still there, it just needs to be built back up. And faith works like that. I'm going to read James chapter 1, 2 through 4, because a lot of people feel like when you're going through something or you're facing something, well, I didn't have enough faith, or my faith is not working, or what I believe is really not that good because look at all of these things that are happening. But that's actually the opportunity where faith will be built inside of you. When you face resistance, when you face opposition, when something hits you and you go, I don't even know what I believe anymore. I mean, is God really that good? Is all this stuff true, or are people just making all this up? When you start getting put in those type of places, your heart is tested, and you get an opportunity then to stand in the faith of what you believe in, or what you claim to believe in. And that's a personal process. And God will allow us to bump up against something because He knows and has even declared in His Word that faith as small as a mustard seed to speak to a mountain and it'll be moved. See, faith moves things. In James chapter 1, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. That's not our first response. Yes, I'm going to be so happy. Now, a lot of times we call everybody. So we want them to know the mess we're in. Or, you know, we want them to be afraid with us. Or we want them to be angry with us or mad with us. But when you call some of the people around here, you don't get that. Sometimes you get another response, which is, you know, you need to look into your heart. You need to see what's going on inside of you. I don't care about what it looks like. I don't care about what that report says or what. I don't care about what all that looks like. What I want to know is what is God saying? What's God doing inside of you? See, that's a response that builds faith. And we'll talk about that we'll talk about that as we talk about anointing and impartation, because these things speak towards faith. Coming into the presence of God builds faith inside of you, because it puts you in a position where you not only do you hear the Word, but you begin to honor the Word because you know it's coming from God. So when you face an opportunity, or when you face troubles of any kind, consider an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. How many would like to be perfect and complete, needing nothing? Guess what? You just announced you would like some resistance. Because you're going to have to meet resistance to put a demand on your faith that causes you to walk by faith and not by sight, not by what you see, not by what five members in your family told you. And faith, a lot of times, looks crazy. But when you stand in that and you have an opportunity to endure in that, then a perfecting process begins on the inside of you that says, no one can take this from me. No one can shake this, because when everybody said no way, no how, no sir, no ma'am, God did something else, because he put faith on the inside of me and he said, come and go to a place that I'll show you. And everybody said, you need to let him show you before you go, but I went anyways. See, that's faith. You're going to build an ark. It's never rained, but the heavens are going to open. Rain's going to pour out from above, and it's going to come up out of the ground. The whole earth's going to be flooded, and you need to start building this thing. How are we going to get the materials? Oh, it's just going to be brought to you. Everything about that story looks absolutely dumb until it starts raining. So a lot of times, faith is not validated on the front end. It's validated on the back end. But I will tell you this, that faith, that move of God wasn't activated until crisis unfolded. And so a lot of times we come up against resistance. Maybe we find the wolf out there and he's taking some things. And we go hide out and sit in a position of no movement and just wait until we get to go to heaven. You do not need faith once you get there. You need faith here. And the beginning process is he imparts faith to you in conversion. You're not going to call on the name of the Lord except he draws you. And there's a faith exchange. This has to happen by faith. None of this is head knowledge. And so a lot of times we are trying to quote scriptures at something that is resisting us, that we don't even believe at the heart level. And when we meet that resistance, it's an opportunity for faith to take place and take root in the heart, because faith is primarily trust. Trust in the character and nature of God, that he is who he says he is. And that's tested in the heart, that's carried in the heart, that's built in the heart, that's forged in the heart. It can't be a head thing. It's not a church that you go to. It's not a theology that you embrace. It's not a doctrine that you claim. It's not a class that you took. It is something unshakable that God will build on the inside of you, and we move from faith to faith, glory to glory. There's a growth that needs to take place that matures us, and the word fuels this. See, the enemy, if he can steal the word from you and keep you from understanding the word, keep you from searching the word, and keep you from hearing the word, and keep you from meditating on the word, he's already got you, because faith will not have a chance to develop to the point of overcoming that resistance if you don't have the word. What was it that Jesus used to defeat the devil that was tempting him in the wilderness for 40 days? He said, it's written. You notice, even whenever we say it is written, you can feel faith. Your whole perspective can change when you go back to, but it is written. Sometimes you are turning to a scripture. Sometimes it's going back over the faithfulness of God and realizing what he's written on your heart. It's going, well, but he wrote that, but he said this, but he, and faith starts to respond and go, yep, we're coming alive. It's like the protein that hits your muscles. Faith is an act. Are y'all getting this now? Like, faith is an act. Faith is not a hopefulness, a desire. Faith is the maturity of a hopefulness or desire. It's an act. It's a response. In James chapter 2, it says, faith without works is dead, right? Faith without works is dead. I want to read a little bit more of that. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift. Oh, sorry, that's chapter 1. Let's go to chapter 2. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. What? Faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds, but I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? See, God, yes, he's taking us to heaven. We're his bride. He is fascinated with us. But he needs us to get in the position of faith so that he can redeem what he paid for, which is mankind. He redeemed everyone. But he needs us to stand in our own personal position of faith to where we actually begin to impact people. We actually begin to stand in some things, and it's like, I can't understand how they can do that because they're in faith. First Corinthians 2, verse 5 says, your faith should not stand on wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The temptation that the church faces is, we hear something from God, and then we apply the wisdom of man to it. And we create a mixture that's more palatable. Tell you what it sounds like. Blake, I hear what you're saying. I get it. You're excited, but you got to have common sense too. God gave you common sense. I heard someone say that if you got something common, it didn't come from God. You got to have common sense. What that says is balance your faith. You got to have balance. You ever heard that too? Got to have balance. Or, you can't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. That's right. Maybe you're not that heavenly minded because heaven would be nothing but good for this earth. That's right. But you got to have balance. What do I balance my faith with? What do I balance it with? Unbelief? My faith's getting a little heavy. I got to throw something, a counterweight over here. Oh, I got just enough faith and unbelief that I don't look any different than the world. Okay, this is good. This is actually pretty comfortable for most people. Oh, yeah, we'll sit right here. Jesus is coming back any minute. Yes. I used to be excited about telling people based on prophetic events that the Lord was going to return any minute. Yep. Until I had a dream one night that it actually happened. And the first thing I did when I looked outside and I saw angels descending and I saw columns of smoke coming down and hitting the ground, I was about 19 when I had this dream. In the dream, I run and grab my phone and I'm shaking to try to dial numbers of people that aren't ready for him to come back. And so when you think you're ready and you're ready to say, Jesus, we want you to come back, don't forget the millions of people, including loved ones that you know, that need Jesus to come inside of you now so that they'll be ready to stand before him. They'll be ready to get called up with him in the clouds when he does come back. And so for weeks, it caused me to tremble when people would say, you know, Jesus is coming back, man. Look at what's happening in Israel, and look at all the bad stuff and all this. I'll tell you when he's coming back if you want to know. When the bride begins to step into her identity. And that's us. I hope I'm stirring this in you. You can see faith. In Mark 2, verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. He can see faith on you. In Luke 8, 25, when the storm pops up, you know, he rebukes them and he says, where's your faith? Where's your response? Well, my faith is in you, Jesus. You know, I trust in you. If you do, speak to it. Speak to it. Let your faith respond. In Acts 14, says, Paul looked directly at him and saw he had faith to be healed and called out to him, stand up on your feet. You can see faith in people. You can see faith in me. What's crazy is someone can even be going through something and maybe it's not working out real well. Maybe they're sick. Maybe their head is bald because they had chemotherapy and the cancer treatment, and yet you can still see faith in them. That's the type of faith I want. Not the type of faith that demands everything in the external to line up before I do anything. If we take that position with faith, you'll sit right there in that chair and we'll throw a funeral for you one day. And we'll be thinking about, well, you know, they were always good at baking blueberry muffins. And that's what we'll tell them. Oh, I'm sure gonna miss those blueberry muffins. I remember the time whenever this, you know. But what if there was a line of people that you couldn't even have a regular funeral service because the line of people said, you know, I was addicted to meth and this guy loved me and I couldn't understand how somebody like that could love me in the state that I was, and he broke hell off my life. And he taught me how to be a man. And now my kids are being raised in this. What about that type of faith? I want him to be able to say something about me at my funeral. Not that he was a good old boy. And, you know, I want him to be able to say something. I want to make a dent in this earth. We're only here for a little while. And you can sit and wait. You can wait on it all to line up. You can wait for the finances to be exactly perfect. And then now I'm going to start giving to people. And you'll die waiting. You got to figure out what's going on inside of you. And then let it become a reality. Let it manifest supernaturally into the natural. That's how faith works. Y'all have enough yet? So if faith is a look, that's all I got. I'm done with that. If faith is a look, and I can see faith on you, what can I see? What is the fruit that's on our life? If I am not challenged by the measure of faith required, it's probably not God. It's probably just me. If it is small enough, that I can put a strategy together to accomplish it, it's probably not pushed into the place of faith yet. If I write the check towards something that I can absolutely afford and there's no sacrifice to it. I mean, that's just, could be just a good deed. But I can remember, and I'm not talking about money as much as I am heart. I can remember standing at Victory in Tulsa, and we were basically like, I was going to Bible college full time and working just a little, and Mallory was making the money. But I remember spending a week eating peanut butter crackers. Now, I could have called a dozen people, you know, that they would have sent money. But every morning when I got up, I told God what I wanted for breakfast, and somebody brought it to me at school. So most people never have that opportunity, because we'll never make the decision to move into a position that's a little bit uncomfortable and wait on God. They that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll walk and not grow weary. They'll run and not faint. They'll mount up on wings like eagles and soar. You're not going to soar sitting and waiting on everything to line up. And I asked somebody, I said, would you move? Would you sell your house and move across state lines and basically backtrack, is what it looks like in the natural, if God told you to? Well, he would have to make it super, super, super clear. I mean, he'd have to write it on the wall. He'd have to work a lot of things out. Guess what you just announced? You're probably going to sit right where you are. Heard somebody say faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Doesn't mean S-T-U-P-I-D. You got to have the word. I don't know if you put it, the word lands on faith or faith lands on the word, but I'm telling you, you can't separate the two. I can't go too much further in this, or I'll get into next week. I want Travis to come play, but I have a question I need to ask all of you. This is important. This requires our participation. Because I'm going to tell you about somebody, a young woman, that if you've been here for any length of time, you know her. You're aware of this young woman. And I'm going to tell you who it is in a minute. I'm actually going to put a picture up on the screen. But I'm telling you that unless faith responds, this young lady is going to die. Because the only way that she will live is by faith. Now, if faith is a response, faith is an act, faith is you standing in something, is faith is you doing something, because James said faith without works is dead. The question I'm asking is, what are you going to do? Because I'm going to tell you, if everybody in this room will decide to do something in faith, and everybody in this room will decide to give something out of the position of faith, whether it be time, if everybody in here would give a little bit of their money, a little bit of their resource, a little bit of their seed, she'll survive. She'll make it. But if you don't, she's as good as dead. Because it's going to take the faith inside the body for her. That's the bride. He's coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. The only thing that will produce that and build that, well, is what I'm talking about. Who would be willing to stand up in faith as the bride? Just stand if that's you. Now, what takes place right now, it's not so important about a service. But it's important as to what is going on inside of you. The first thing that he begins to do as we are being built into maturity is he comes after our heart. Every part. All of it. Nothing held back. The little foxes don't survive. You are going to stand in a position where everything that's built on your life that wasn't in faith will burn up. And only the faith-built, fortified treasures of gold, purely refined by God, will make it through the fire. And your entire eternity is going to be built on the response of faith here on the earth. It's not just, I prayed the prayer, so I'm getting there. There are rewards in heaven for you in response to the life of faith right now. Woo! For some of you, that's exciting. For some of you, that's like, oh, I need to get to work. I need to go. But for guys like John Page, that'll risk it all. When everybody will point the finger and go, that dude's crazy. Why does he do that? Because when he got a measure of faith dealt to him, he started using it. He started exercising it because it saved his life. Because he watched his mom and dad go through the loss of their son. You think that was easy? He lost a brother. But faith comes out on the other side and says, I'll still risk it all because I don't have anything else. There's nothing else that I can attach this to but him. The only name. For a lot of people, it's going to be flip-flopped when we get to heaven. The people we think have got it all made right here are going to be looking at people just like the rich man and Lazarus. You can get your reward here, or you can get your reward there. But I say, with the words of Jesus, whoever's given up houses, things, families to come and follow me, will he not reap 100 times in this life and in the life to come? But guess what he had to do, the rich man? Give it all away first. Everything that you have is for sale. Give it all away. Sell all your possessions. Come and follow me. If you can't endure that process, you're not fit for the walk of faith. I know that's bold, but let this challenge your heart right now. God, you have created us. You have formed us in your image and your likeness. And as your sons and daughters, we are eternally sealed in you. And we trust in you. And we ask, Father, that all of the measure of faith that has been dealt to us be strengthened, be stretched, be pulled, be enlarged, God, as we trust in you. As we are not just beginning a good thing, but we are finishing it in you, God, because you said that you're faithful and just to finish the work. And God, I want a finishing faith in this room to be deposited. God, I want people that are not apathetic, that people that are not scared, people that are not reliant upon their mind's ability and capacity to explain everything, but they are people of faith. They are people of God. They are people that trust in your word and esteem it above everything else. They are people that are not just intellectual. They are experiential, God, that they know you. They walk in you. They move in you. That when we look upon the lives of the people that are in this room, we can see faith. That it's a faith that is put to work. And Lord, I just welcome whatever challenges that you're putting on our hearts today to step it up, to wake up for the sake of your bride. Oh, we want you to form and fashion us. We want you to look just like you looked at Adam's body and you pulled out a rib and you fashioned a bride for him. We want you to look at your churches all across America. Look at your body. Look at the body of Christ and begin to form and fashion a bride, a remnant that's radiant, that's beautiful, that's adorned in righteousness, that's walking in holiness, that is completely baptized in power and authority and faith like never before. And we ask you, God, that you would begin it right here in this place today, that there would be some people that would stand, God, not just in word, but in deed. There would be some people that would have the confidence to say, you know, I haven't figured it all out. I need some help, but I'm willing to stand in faith. I want to do more than just go to a church that believes. I want to believe myself. If you need faith to intervene in any way, first thing you got to do is submit your life to him. Give up your own way and follow him. That's salvation. You're not going to feel the measure of faith until you receive Christ. And it's so easy to do because he draws you. So all you do is say yes. I lay it down. I want to step in to the life of faith. If you've done that, that's the entry point. That's the beginning point. Maybe you're in a position that requires faith today. Maybe it's a dream you believe in, or maybe it's something that you're facing. You're going, I am meeting resistance. And if you need the faith of God to flow on the anointing, I want you to step up here. I want you to step up front. Maybe it's the miraculous thing that you've believed for a long time that you just decided, I'll just wait. I'm not worried. I'm just going to let, you know, I'll just wait and maybe something will turn out. No, put a demand on faith. You have been given authority and power to speak the word of God in faith and watch mountains move. Quit trying to create a path around a mountain that's meant to just be moved and cast into the sea. What would be better? Breaking out all the construction equipment, dynamite, dozers, pushing dirt around, moving rock to try to get a path around that mountain, or just have it removed and cast into the sea. That's what faith can do. Just a tiny, tiny amount of faith can do that. So for the remainder of this service, all I want us to do is transact with faith, okay? I want us to make faith exchanges. I want us to hear the word of the Lord promising us his truth. So if there's someone that you want to pray with or you want to receive prayer, now's the time. I'm going to read this scripture because A lot of times when we're standing in faith, it doesn't feel right at first. We're worn out. We say, I told God this last week, I said, I don't even have the strength to pray about that right now. I don't even want to call anybody to pray about that. I feel like I just need you to take care of that. And immediately he said, Philippians 4:13. And I thought I knew what it said, but I was like, let me just look it up. And here's what it says. I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. For I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things. Faith is that secret. Whether in fullness or in hunger, and I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. That's faith's response to my whining. So when you ask him how he sees this, let him speak. And then you get to choose. I can choose strength, or I can choose myself, and that never turns out very good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Faith hopes all things. God, I thank you that hope is transitioning into faith right now. That the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen would begin to materialize in our lives. I pray for dreams to awaken, dreams to believe again. And just an understanding and a wisdom that a lot of the things that we faced that we feel like didn't turn out right was a position for God to forge faith in us. It was never meant to cause mistrust. You are a good God, and we thank you. We love you.